We've been studying about Luke, what he wrote in Scripture. He wrote the Gospel according to Luke. He wrote the book of Acts. The two of them put together will give you a chronological history of what happened in about the first 65 years of time frame between just before the birth of John the Baptist to after Paul was held prisoner in Rome for 2 years. Most of the information Luke got, he got from interviewing eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. He himself was a minister of the word. We'll see that later as we go on. We've talked about it before. We're up to the fourth chapter of Acts, if you'll turn there. In the third chapter of Acts, we find Peter and John going into the temple where stood a lame man. He wasn't standing. He was sitting there laying down, I guess. He'd been lame from his birth. And he had asked an alms of Peter and John, and Peter said to him, "Look on us, silver and gold have I none," Peter says, "but such as I have give I thee." This is in Acts 3:6. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, that man had never walked. But Peter took him by the hand in verse 7. And the power of healing came through and shot through Peter's arm and into that man. And he leaped up and he walked and he jumped and he was praising God. And he had two new best friends. We talked about this, Peter and John. And he created such a commotion that a crowd came running, quite a crowd of men of Israel, because that's who went into the temple. And Peter preached a sermon there. It's found in Acts 3:12 through 26. And we find Peter telling them, they were trying to find, he was explaining what had happened and how it was Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified, who rose again from the dead by power in Jesus' name, that this lame man was healed. And he explained some things to them that they should have known. And he says there in Acts 3:25, "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall the kindreds of the earth be blessed." He was talking about Christ, in thy seed. "Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, send him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Now, there was at Jerusalem in the temple the Jewish rulers, called the Sanhedrin Council. It's never called that name in Scripture, but that's who they were. And let's read the first four verses here of Acts 4. "As they," Peter and John, mostly Peter, "spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." We talked about this a little bit last week, how the Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in miracles either. They didn't believe much. They believed in themselves. They were of the Jewish aristocratic bunch. They had wealth and money, and they thought they were it. And so in verse 3, this is the Sanhedrin, laid hands on Peter and John and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, and this is the results of the sermon that was preached in Acts 3, it says, howbeit many of them which heard the word that Peter preached there, and the number says many of them heard the word, believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. 5,000 more were added to that collection of believers there in Jerusalem. We noted last time that there wasn't that many people in Jerusalem to start with, maybe 27 to 30,000 people. And you had 5,000 here added to the Lord, and then you had another 3,000 in the second chapter. That's 8,000. That's a third of the population there of Jerusalem that's believers now. And of course, the Sanhedrin Council is going to be upset. The reason why? They thought that they were the ones in charge. And it says in Acts 4:2 that they were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, something they didn't believe in. And we mentioned this last time that we're going to find the name of Jesus mentioned 7 times in Acts 4. 7 speaks of spiritual perfection. That is Jesus. That defines Jesus pretty well. And 3 times in Acts 4, verses 2, 10, and 33, we're going to read again of the resurrection of Jesus. And 3, again, is the number that points to resurrection. The very mention of the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead, which Peter preached in his sermon and mentioned it more than once, pushed these of the Sanhedrin over the edge. And the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon Peter and John, and the lame man was with them, all of them, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for now it was eventide, it was evening. This you found in Acts 4, 1 and 3. Apparently, they didn't mind obeying some of the law some of the time when they felt like it. Apparently, as we read here, it was not appropriate to assemble the Jewish Sanhedrin Council at night, but if that was a rule, they obviously violated it in the case of their trial of Jesus. So they did what they wanted to do, and they wanted to do it and called it okay. That's what it means. And as we just mentioned, the results of Peter's second sermon is found in Acts 4:4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them was about 5,000. There are 7 heard the word verses of scripture in the Bible. If you look up that phrase, heard the word, again, 7 is the number of spiritual perfection or spiritual completion. And here we find that those that heard the word believed. These men who truly believed were of the house of Israel that Peter addressed from Solomon's porch in Acts 3. We must also note, not all of them believed, but many of them which heard the word believed. So some of those that heard Peter's sermon, because he gathered quite a crowd, some of those that heard his sermon were members of the Sanhedrin Council who were attracted to the commotions surrounding the healing of the lame man. And the reason that they came, again, is stated in Acts 4:2, the Sanhedrin Council, They were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Of course, we know that these rulers, and many of them who were Sadducees, James, they didn't believe the word of truth that Peter preached because they didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And as I thought about this, I thought it important to note that not one time in Scripture ever do we read of a Sadducee getting saved. If you can find one Sadducee in Scripture that whoever got saved, please bring it to my attention. But I don't think you're going to find it. And the reason, because they didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, he wrote in Romans 10, 9 and 10, what Scripture is more or less a template for anyone becoming a believer. What it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10 is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the Sanhedrin Council consisted of scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, priests, and elders, and the number of them was somewhere between 70 and 72 men. Now, we mentioned we don't ever read of a Sadducee getting saved, but there are a couple of Pharisees who got saved. Saul of Tarsus, wow, he really got saved, didn't he? He became the Apostle Paul. He wrote 14 books of the New Testament. He's our apostle to the Gentiles. He wrote that statement we just read in Romans 10. I'm convinced in my own heart that Nicodemus got saved. He was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Pharisees. He could have been part of the Sanhedrin Council at one time. Now, I want to read from verse 5 through 22 of Acts 4, just so that we're familiar with it, because it's a complete story in itself. And then we'll go back and we'll dig into some nuts and bolts of it. You know, when you read a few portions of Scripture, you think, well, there ain't much there. We'll move on. There's a lot here. There's maybe a couple more weeks worth of Sunday school lessons if the Lord tarry from just this portion we're about to read, Acts 4 or 5. Now remember, Peter and John were arrested there in verses 1 through 4. And we made mention that the lame man who was healed, he wasn't going to let him go. He hung out with him. He was essentially under house arrest himself. And it came to pass on the morrow, verse 5 says, that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Cephas and John and Alexander and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. This is the Sanhedrin Council. Verse 7, and when they had set them, Peter and John, in the midst, they ask, this is a curious question, by what power or by what name have you done this? Now, we'll talk about this later. Then Peter, verse 8, filled with the Holy Ghost, we'll talk about this in further depth later, but notice, it wasn't Peter that was speaking here. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Be it known unto you and to all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name in heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they heard the boldness, or saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was standing with them, the lame man that was healed, they could say nothing against it, even though they didn't believe in miracles. It's kind of hard to argue with Exhibit A standing right here. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." We've witnessed a miracle ourselves. We walked by this lame man for years, and that's him. He's standing there with him. It's a miracle, but we don't believe in miracles, so kind of hard to believe. But they couldn't deny it, could they? "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And so they called them, Peter and John, and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. They couldn't argue it. They couldn't deny it. And their threatening words were just like a vapor, I guess, that just passed away, because Peter and John weren't going to obey them. So let's go back to verse 5 and look at these verses 5 through 7 a little closer. "And it came to pass on the morrow," that means on the next day, "that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Cephas and John and Alexander and as many were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them, Peter and John and the lame man being with them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this?" History records that Annas was probably at one time the president of the Sanhedrin, and that he had five sons who were also high priests. Cephas was another high priest who was also noted to be the president of the Sanhedrin Council. He was president at the time of Jesus' appearance before him in Matthew 26. And that story is also recorded in John 18. The John and Alexander mentioned here were kinsmen of Annas the high priest. And Alexander is thought to have held the title of governor of the Jews. If you're a governor of the Jews, you have some power and esteem, don't you think? Yeah. And so the short version then of Acts 4, 5, and verses 5 and 6 were that these were the members of the Jewish Sanhedrin Council whom Peter and John were brought before. And the Sanhedrin Council perceived themselves as being the ones in power. They're the ones in charge, especially in the temple. In Acts 4:7, after thinking about it all night, they asked the Sanhedrin Council, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And at first glance, this might seem like a really dumb question, but we are looking at it from the perspective of a believer. And they were unbelievers. And this was, as we will now see, there was a tremendous wisdom given Luke by the Holy Ghost to record this question. By what power or by what name have you done this? And of course, as we get into this, we'll see what's behind their questioning, their Sanhedrin's council's questioning and their actions. So I thought about this. It's good to ponder scriptures as you go through them. And I got to thinking, well, who asked the first question in the Bible? Don't Google it up because you'll get a wrong answer. Okay? Yeah, Satan was the first one who asked a question in scripture. Okay? And it's found in Genesis 3:1. And it was Satan in the form of a serpent who asked Eve, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" That was a question. And of course, this apparently simple question brought about the loss of man's innocence forever. We find mentioned in Revelation 12:9. You don't have to turn there. And in Revelation 22, you don't have to mention that either, go there either, that that old serpent, which is called the devil, is none other than Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. We've gone over this scripture many times before in John 8:44, and it was Jesus speaking in John 8:44, who tells who Satan is. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. We hear lies all the time, every day. If you turn on the news, it's going to be full of lies. Who's behind all that? Satan. He's the father of lies. He's called by many names in scripture, Satan is. One of them is Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. You'll find that, and you don't have to turn here either, but in Matthew 12:24, and also in Mark 3:22. In John 12:31, in John 14:30, and in John 16:11, Satan is called the prince of this world. He must have a little power then, if he's the prince of this world, huh? In Ephesians 2:2, Satan is noted to be the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. So he has some power. He's the prince of the power of the air. And the Greek word that's translated power there in Ephesians 2:2 is exousia. It's number 1849 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. And it means here, one who possesses authority. Okay? Well, we know that it's God who allows Satan for now to possess this authority to be the power of the air. Back in Acts 1:7, we found this same Greek word expressing power, and we know that God is the ultimate authority, okay? And in Acts 1:7, we find that exousia is used to express God's power, where Jesus says in Acts 1:7, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, exousia. Thus, we must also understand that Satan too has power, but it's power that God allows him to have. And Satan, by his power, deceived Eve. And because of this, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. This according to Romans 5:12, and you know this. Satan deceiveth the whole world. You'll find that statement also in Revelation 12:9. So, having said all that, what does all this information about Satan being the power of the air have to do with the question being asked by the Sanhedrin Council in Acts 4:7, where they ask, by what power or by what name have you done this? In other words, what we should realize now, behind the scenes, it was Satan influencing those of the Sanhedrin Council to ask, by whose authority have you done this miracle of the healing of the lame man? Certainly the Sanhedrin Council didn't authorize this healing, did they? They didn't authorize Peter to speak in their temple. They didn't authorize him to talk about the resurrection of Jesus. They didn't authorize him and to lead 5,000 to the Lord. That was power that was beyond their power, and they couldn't stop it. In their mind, the Sanhedrin Council thought they were the authority, the power in charge here, because they were the rulers of the Jews. Satan also, he thought he was in charge here, being the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, most of whom qualified for this description of the Sanhedrin Council. One of Schofield's notes that you can read of for yourself, if you have a Schofield Bible, found in Matthew 3:7, adds this thought that we brought out here this morning as to the thinking of the Sadducees, because he notes that the Sadducees denied the existence of angels or other spirits. They denied all miracles, especially the resurrection. And yet we just read here this morning that they couldn't deny that their lame man was healed. I mean, that's exhibit A and B and C and D and the whole enchilada there. So we find that this must have been very difficult, as we read there in Acts 4:16, for the Sanhedrin Council to come to grips with the fact that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, by Peter and John, it seems, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Now, in Acts 4:7, it is also interesting to note that they ask, by what name have you done this? Their thinking was, the Sanhedrin Council, they thought that they were the ones who regulated the religious affairs of the nation of Israel. Well, they really had a high opinion of themselves and their power and their authority. So being promoted by Satan, they certainly didn't acknowledge that God was the one in charge, and they didn't acknowledge that Israel was a chosen special people to God himself. I want to read this again. It's in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. Please turn back to Deuteronomy 7 so you can see this for yourself and underline these words in your own Bible. Deuteronomy 7, we'll start in verse 6. You can read more of this later on your own. Deuteronomy 7, 6, Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. And he says in Deuteronomy 7, 6, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Why do you think we still have the children of Israel, the Jews, in existence today. You don't find Philistines around anymore, do you? Okay, you think about it. Verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, ye children of Israel, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto our fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Anybody ever do the math as to how long 1,000 generations is? Well, you know, I would do the math here. You've seen pictures of 5 generations probably before, and the oldest one's around in the 90s maybe close to 100. So I'm allowing 5 generations per 100 years. 1,000 generations equals 20,000 years. How long has man been on the earth? Maybe not that long. 6,000 to 8,000 years, I don't know. Well, 20,000 years takes a long time down the future, don't it? So, verse 9 again of Deuteronomy 7. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, 20,000 years. Wow. So, back to Acts 4:7, we mentioned earlier that on the surface, the question asked in Acts 4:7 seems like a really dumb question, because they ask, by what power or what name have you done this? And perhaps to us, this is a dumb question, because we're looking at it from the perspective of believers. But to the unbelieving Sanhedrin Council's perspective, this was a pertinent question to ask, because they were under the impression that they were the authority. They were the power in charge here. And some of these same members of the Sanhedrin Council that had arrested Peter and John here in Acts 4 had previously asked Jesus a similar question. Let's go back and look at this in Matthew 21. The same story is also recorded in Mark 11, verses 27 through 33, and also in Luke 20, verses 1 through 8, but we'll read in Matthew 21. This is concerning Jesus. Matthew 21, 23. And when he was come into the temple, Jesus, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching. These were no doubt also members of the Sanhedrin. And they said, by what authority doest thou these things? In other words, we're the authority here. So by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which, if ye tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. Verse 25, the baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say to us, why did ye not believe him? Verse 26, but if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And so, in verse 27, and they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And Jesus, he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Sister Bodie, in her Matthew commentary, she wrote here that they refused to acknowledge his divine rights, attested to by divine words and works. Therefore, he refuses to acknowledge their authority to question him in any sense. When Brother Hawkins got to this portion in Luke, in his Luke commentary, he noted that they wished to put Jesus on the defensive, but Jesus, with his questioning, put them on the defensive. Well, you know, that was very irritating to them. And they were plotting from that point on how they could kill him. Jesus goes on in Matthew 21 to give them a couple of parables to think about. And then let's start reading in Matthew 21:42. And this is something that will come up again next time, Lord willing, in our text of Acts 4. In Matthew 21:42, Jesus said unto them, "Did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." He asked this question. And the scripture he was quoting is in Psalms 118:22 and 23. Let's turn there. We're going to run out of time here in a minute. But Psalm 118, Jesus, when he quoting scriptures, he is the Word of God. He knows the Word of God, and he knows what's stated there in Matthew 18:22, and we just read it here. It says in Psalms 18:22, "The stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." You'll find the same verse quoted again in Mark 12:10 and also in Luke 20, verse 17. Here in Matthew 21:42, Jesus is referencing himself as being the stone, the head of the corner. We'll talk about this more next time, Lord willing. Believe me, this is an interesting portion of scripture. Please go back and review it on your own, this portion in Acts 4. Thank you.